Hello, and welcome back to Spaces or Laces. I'm your host, Jeff Meyer, and first, I'd like to apologize for not having an episode last week. Had a crazy week at work, had to flip my shift, didn't get much sleep. It was a rough week, but I was on the big show last week and really enjoyed it. I was able to get on there, bullshit with the guys, talk some sports, loved every second of it. But getting back into Spaces or Laces here, I want to start off with a light 'em up segment of Martavis Bryant. Wow. So, start this off. Martavis has not been playing that well this year. He hasn't really been making any big plays. You know, looking forward to this season, one thing we wanted with the Steelers offense was big plays. And Bryant was our big play guy. The speed, the size, the athleticism. I was hoping for big things this year. But after sitting out 2016 because he was suspended, not the answer I was looking for here. And now, after the Chiefs game, a victory for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Bryant, there's rumors that he wants traded. I know Ian Rappaport came out. He's the first one to break the story, say Martavis was looking to be traded, wasn't happy with the Steelers organization. Man, that's bad news. Right after you redeem yourself against the Jaguars, you go out to Kansas City at Arrowhead and get a huge, huge win on the road. Bryant now flips the script. Brings, you know, more questions, more concerns to that Pittsburgh Steelers locker room. It's just bad for business. It's bad for the Steelers. AB is all about business is booming, but the business is not booming right now in Pittsburgh. You're winning the division. You're 4-2. You're expecting, you know, things to turn around after Big Ben throws 5 picks against the Jaguars. The Steelers lose at home. One of the worst home losses I've seen in damn near probably a decade. I can't even tell you the last time I saw a loss that bad in Pittsburgh. It's bad. It's really weird because just when you get your hopes up, the Steelers get the run game going. After the Jaguars game, I was all in to fire Haley. I thought Todd Haley's time in Pittsburgh was ended. And then talk about, I know I saw some things on the internet, you know, football guy of the week, PMT talked about it. Todd Haley, you're so lucky that Le'Veon Bell went out and rushed for, I think, 170 yards somewhere in that ballpark. Headbutt him. What a football guy. Goes out and headbutts Le'Veon Bell with a helmet on. So excited. Yeah, he pretty much saved your job. Or excuse me, I'm talking about Le'Veon Bell. I meant AB with that catch at the end, a one-handed catch when it deflected off the corner. Scored a touchdown. He headbutted AB. But the same token, talking about Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell and AB saved Todd Haley's job. After a horrible home loss, Big Ben throws 5 picks. The offense has been averaging like 15 points a game. When this team should easily be averaging 30 points a game, there's no reason how much talent on this offense are not. They're not putting up 30 points a game. The offensive line has been playing really well. It's inexcusable. But with all that being said, the Steelers are 4-2. They're winning the division. They have a home. They have a huge divisional tiebreaker against the Ravens now. They won at Baltimore. So this weekend coming up, you have the Bengals coming to Pittsburgh, another divisional rival. If you can win against the Bengals, you're atop your respective division, the AFC North. You have a huge win at Baltimore. You now play Baltimore home. You beat Cincy at home. Got to play them, you know, at their stadium. I like your chances in the division. The Browns aren't beating anyone. So if you can handle your business against the Ravens, handle your business against the Bengals, you're back in the playoffs, and that's where you need to be. And hopefully some of this early season struggles with the offense. Todd Haley probably should have been fired, wasn't. Martavis Bryant asking for a trade. Those things start becoming less significant later on the season. I believe this is week 7. Week 9, Steelers have a bye. So if you can roll into your bye, you know, your bye week, 6-2, man, you really got to like the Steelers' chances of winning the division then. But getting back to lighting up Martavis Bryant, how selfish are you? Come on, man, make plays. I was looking at some of his stats over his career so far. He was drafted in 2014, I believe. 2015 was his best season. He was targeted 92 times, only 50 receptions, 765 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And this dude's acting like a prima donna, a diva, a TO, and he isn't out there making the plays. It's crazy because he has the capability to be the best number 2 in the NFL. When you have AB on your team, he's obviously going to be a clear-cut favorite to be your number 1 receiver. But Bryant could easily be the best number 2 receiver in the NFL. He could go to some teams and be the best receiver, hands down. And when I first heard this, I got very nervous about him getting traded because the first team I thought about was the Giants. If you're the New York Giants, you're licking at your chops right now. You would love to pick him up because you don't have anyone to throw to. The Giants aren't a bad football team, and they have one. They won one game. I'm sorry, I can't remember off the top of my head. I can't remember if they lost. Oh yeah, they beat the Broncos last week. So yeah, they're 1-5. They've won one game this year and don't have any receivers. They beat the Broncos at home. Don't know how they pulled that off. But if you can get a guy like Bryant, who's apparently upset with the Steelers organization, doesn't want to play for the Steelers anymore, is being a crybaby, perfect fit for the Giants. They don't have anyone to throw to. But man, if you're Bryant, grow up. Come on, I know you're a young guy. Learn from, you know, some professionals. I know you're not the number one guy. Unfortunately, you want to be AB. That's fine. I understand it. But look at your surroundings. You have a Hall of Fame quarterback. You have the best running back in the league on your team. The best receiver. Go out, win a Super Bowl. Make plays. Make catches. Have a deep postseason run. Win a Super Bowl. And guess what? If you're not happy with the Steelers then, fine. Ask for a trade. Get traded. But after the Steelers, you know, went all in with you, you sat out an entire year, the Steelers still kept you around. Do the right thing. Be a professional. Suck it up. The season's, you know, over a fourth of the way done at this point. Just be a better person. But talking about a better, you know, better person, is there a better person in the league than Aaron Rodgers as far as a football guy? I don't know if there is. But it's really sad. Even though I've talked a lot of shit on him over the years, you hate to see him break his collarbone. Because the Packers were my NFC pick to win it all this year. To win the NFC and win the Super Bowl. So, it's hard to see Aaron Rodgers going down because realistically he's out the whole season. The Packers are not going to win the Super Bowl with Brett Hundley. He was drafted in 2015, the UCLA quarterback. I like him. My Green Bay Packer fan, my Green Bay Packer expert, I would say, we were just talking to him about it. He loves Brett Hundley. He's watched him a lot of UCLA, has watched him a lot of the Packers, is really high on him. He thinks he can get the job done. I don't think he can get the job done to win a Super Bowl in Green Bay. If he does, he's the second coming of Brett. And when I mean Brett, I'm talking about Brett Favre. That's one of the reasons I hate Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. Growing up as a Packer fan, I was a Packer Steelers fan, like obviously by location, my parents, my whole family were huge Steelers fans. But growing up, just loved Brett Favre, slinging the ball around. Maybe Brett Hundley would bring a little bit more, you know, that Brett magic back to Green Bay. But I don't know. I'm just a Brett Favre guy. I know Aaron Rodgers is an elite quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks in Packers history at this point, which is crazy because he was drafted 2005, sat 3 years, started 2008 when Brett Favre went to retirement, went to the because he went to the Jets. Yeah, that's right. He went to the Jets, and then Aaron, you know, and Aaron Rodgers' team since 2008. But it's crazy because he hasn't been a starting quarterback for 10 years yet. Kind of blows my mind. He's won a Super Bowl statistically. Might be the best quarterback ever with interception ratio, completion percentage. Aaron Rodgers gets done. But now Aaron Rodgers breaks his collarbone on his throwing arm. He's 33 years old. It's rough. You start getting to this age, man. He's getting older. How many more years does he have left? Maybe Brett Hundley is going to step up and be his replacement. I'm not sure. It's kind of hard to speculate. Because Aaron Rodgers is such a competitor, such a great football player, such a great quarterback. When you have Aaron Rodgers on a team, you have a chance to win every single game you play in. So I don't want to say Aaron Rodgers is done, but if I'm a Packers fan, I'm a little nervous about the future with Aaron Rodgers. This is now, he broke his left collarbone, 2 years ago, I believe. Now he broke his right collarbone. Seems kind of injury prone to me. That's one of the things I love about Brett Favre, Iron Brett. Played 297 consecutive starts as a Green Bay Packer quarterback. Unbelievable in the NFL. It's not like Joe Thomas for the offensive tackle for the Cleveland Browns. It's not quite that impressive, but still, it's very impressive. 297 consecutive starts for Brett Favre as a Green Bay Packer. Aaron Rodgers seems injury prone, but talking about injury prone, Big Ben over the years got in a motorcycle accident, had a lot of injuries. I swear every other game, every other season, every other opportunity, I'm very nervous about Big Ben going down. He stands in the pocket. He's not afraid to get hit and all that kind of stuff. So he's very injury prone. But on the flip side, Aaron Rodgers has a quick release. He gets rid of the ball, high tempo, slings the rock around. But he seems pretty injury prone. And the reason why I brought up Big Ben too, because I guess yesterday he was quoted, he was asked if he thought that hit on Aaron Rodgers was dirty. He said no. Any football guy says no. If not, you don't know football. You don't watch football. Like, Aaron Rodgers had the ball. He was releasing it. You're going to tackle him. You're going to take him to the ground. It's football. It's a contact sport. I don't know what's going to happen going forward with the NFL. I pray to God they don't, and, you know, increase the amount of penalties and protection for the quarterback. But when you have so many stars, so many good quarterbacks going down this year, I don't know. It gets kind of dicey. They might be adding some more rules to try to regulate and protect the quarterbacks, which I don't want to see. I think it takes away from the game, honestly. But Big Ben quoted saying, that's a football play. Didn't think it was a dirty hit. A lot of Packer fans out there think it's a dirty hit, and that's unfortunate because football guys know it's not a dirty hit. That's just part of the game. But I'm very, very curious to see what Brett Hundley's got. I liked him at UCLA. I didn't watch him as much as, you know, my Packer expert has watched him. But he's not going to be enough to... It's not going to be enough to take the Packers to where they want to go, back to the promised land, bring the Lombardi Trophy back to Titletown. I don't think it's going to happen. But we'll see. And my guy for the Cleveland, for the Chicago Bears, Mike Trubisky, here's your chance, man. Rookie quarterback, been playing okay, not great. But hey, when you're thrown in the fire, things are going to happen. But I think he's been playing okay. I'm going to try to keep tuning in, trying to watch him as much as possible because he was my preseason. Like when I watched the preseason football games, he was the one quarterback and one player that stood out to me that I liked his, you know, his chances going forward as a player in the NFL. But that NFC North is interesting now. Aaron Rodgers goes down. You have Matt Stafford for, you know, quarterback in the Lions. Trubisky, quarterback in the Bears. That's tough. I don't know who's going to come out on top now. I thought the Packers were a clear-cut favorite earlier, but now I'd have to lean on the Lions winning that division. Matt Stafford is the best quarterback now in the NFC North, hands down. When you have the best quarterback, you usually win a lot of games. And when you win a lot of games, you win divisions. So I now, unfortunately, I'm going to have to flip my pick here. I'm going to take the Lions winning the NFC North now. It only makes sense. But talking about the Vikings a little bit, I saw that Teddy Bridgewater's coming back. I mean, that might shake it up a little bit, but I don't think the Vikings are there. They have a solid defense. Between Case Keenum and Sam Bradford, I just don't like the Vikings' chances. I'm going to take the Lions in that division. Matt Stafford, best quarterback. They've been playing pretty good ball. I like their chances, but... Talking about the NFL, I want to run through this real quick because I want to talk some college. I got my Michigan gear on today. Penn State hate week, number two coming up, but I want to finish up the NFL here quick. I want to run through some games. Raiders playing the Chiefs. Raiders home, +3. Taking the Raiders this week. There's a lot of home dogs this week, which I like a lot. So I'm going to go through each game, each matchup, just say who I'm taking for the week. So... Steelers -5.5 against the Bengals at home, taking the Steelers. Bills versus Bucks. This is a very, very, very interesting matchup in my opinion. The Buccaneers have been playing well this year. The Bills have surprised some people. They've beaten Denver. They've beaten the Falcons. I'm going to have the Bills beating the Bucks at home -3. That is my lock of the week. Lock it up. Lock it up. Bills versus Bucks. Bills -3. Then my upset of the week. I have the Bears at home +3 versus the Panthers. I'm taking the Bears this week. Mr. Trubisky is going to get it done against the Panthers. I don't know what to think about Cam Newton. I never know what to think. He, so one week he's super Cam. Next week he's Scam Newton. I don't know what to expect. I don't know. Panthers blow my mind. I'm not in the Raleigh region. I know Richie watches a lot down there of the Carolina Panthers. I don't watch them. I don't know what's going on, but I know that Cam Newton's hit or miss. Either Super Cam or Scam Newton. So, I'm not sure, but I'll take the Bears at home +3. The Bears always play well in Soldier Field. So, I'm going to take the Bears there. Browns at home versus the Titans +6. Ooh, home dog. No way. Titans get it done. The Browns, unfortunately, are going to be winless. I think they're going to drop to 0-7. Man, has there ever been a year other than like maybe 2003 when... The Browns play the Steelers close. I think it was 2003. The Browns play the Steelers close in a playoff game. Since then, Derek Anderson, like maybe 2007, 8. Like, sorry, I'm just spinning out years here. You guys can fact check me and all that, but I just know it's around that vicinity. Other than that, the Browns haven't won any really meaningful games, haven't won much, so I'll take the Titans versus the Browns, and then the Packers-Saints. I think the Saints are going to win straight up, but I'm going to bet on the Packers. So if you're going money line, take Saints, but I like the Packers plus 4.5 at home. I can easily see in the Saints win, you know, by 3, so I'll take the Packers. Bet, man, love home dogs. Brent Hundley, my Packers insider, has Brent Hundley being a pretty good quarterback, so you got a pretty good quarterback. Packers at home at Lambeau Field versus Saints. I'll take them plus 4.5. Colts Jags. Well, the Jags beat the Steelers, and then they're the Jags. I'm pretty sure they lost last week, so I don't know the thing about the Jags, but they're playing at Indianapolis. They're minus 3.5. I'm going to take the Jags versus the Colts. If the Jags are going to be a legit contender in the AFC South, they got to win games. They got to win divisional games. The Colts aren't very good. Andrew Luck's not back. If you're the Jaguars, win a game on the road. Well, you beat the Steelers on the road, which is obviously a really good win, but beat the Colts at Indianapolis. That'll really help you out. So I'm going to take the Jags minus 3.5. Cardinals and Rams, a little London ball over there. Man, I'll tell you, it's two West Coast teams playing in London. If I'm on that team, I am pissed. I know the Cardinals have been there all week. I'm sure the Rams, you know, did the same. Try to adjust to that time differential so you don't play shitty, you know, on Sunday. But the Rams are minus 3.5. The Cardinals now. I was hiding the Cardinals going into the season. Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, David Johnson. Unfortunately, David Johnson got hurt. Guess what? Bruce Arians, the great coach he is. I'm sure, you know, the GM had a lot to do with it too. Go out, bring in AP. Rush for, like, I think 140 last week somewhere in that ballpark. He rushed for, like, essentially around 150 yards last week in his debut as a Cardinal. Got that victory. Larry Fitzgerald. I liked after the Cardinals game, Bruce Arians had a little press clip. He's like, hey, I know how to coach old guys. I'm an old guy. I know how to coach them up. You got a couple old guys there who still got, you know, some tread left on those tires. AP, Larry Fitzgerald, Carson Palmer. You beat the Rams, who are the young team, doing really well. You take care of business against the Rams in London. Like my Cardinals. I like the Cardinals in the NFC West, man. So maybe since the Cardinals are my second team to the Packers, so Aaron Rodgers goes down. The Cardinals can handle business against the Rams. Essentially, it's the Cardinals-Rams. Well, I mean, essentially, that's three fucking teams. Sorry. But Cardinals-Rams-Seahawks. It's a crapshoot right there. Those three teams are all playing similar football. They're going to beat each other up. So we're going to see the last man standing is going to win that division. And I like the Cardinals' chance. Now you bring AP in. You got a physical runner. A Hall of Fame running back, in my opinion. You bring him in. Carson Palmer can still sling it around a little bit. I like your chances. The defense is good. There's no doubt about it. So you handle your business this week against the Rams. And then I think it's going to be the Cardinals and the Seahawks for that division. That's my opinion. The Rams, I didn't think in the season. I know Matty B called it. Said the Rams were going to be good. I didn't see it. I thought the Rams were going to be shitty again. I was wrong. The Rams were playing good. But I still think it's the Cardinals and the Seahawks are the best two teams in that NFC West. And then going to the AFC East. Two teams that, the Jets, they didn't surprise me this year. They've been playing out of their minds compared to what they should be. The Dolphins, they beat the Falcons last week. And I don't think the Dolphins are a very good team. Jay Cutler has still been throwing for like 150 yards. I don't know how the hell you do that when you're an NFL quarterback. You know, about 150 yards, get it done. I think he lost in London. He threw like 119 or something crazy like that. But I'm gonna take the Dolphins at home against the Jets. I think they're the better team. Jay Cutler needs to step up because the Patriots aren't that good this year. They're not. They beat the Jets last week. They should have beat the Jets. The Jets had them on the ropes early, made it interesting. If the Jets didn't get, talk about NFL football. That call last week against the Jets was the worst call I've ever seen in NFL, other than the replacement ref debacle with the Packers Seahawks. That Jets play, anyone in this football, any football guy I'm going to start raising my tone here. I'm super pissed about this. Any football guy out there will tell you that was a touchdown. The tight end for the Jets apparently lost control of the ball as he was hitting the pylon, regained possession, but when he regained possession, he was out of bounds. So therefore, it's a fumble out of the back of the end zone, touchback, Patriots ball. Get the fuck out of here. That's a touchdown. He caught the ball. He was running towards the end zone. He got whacked by two guys. The ball might have moved a tad bit. Okay, we get it. He didn't necessarily maintain 100%, you know, control of the ball, but he still had the ball in his arms. He still had it. Hit the pylon. Was going out of bounds. I don't know how that's a fumble. Because think about it this way. If you want to think about the flip side, say he's running a pass pattern in the back of the end zone. He catches the ball 2 feet in bounds. He bobbles it. He still maintains 2 feet in bounds. As he's falling to the ground, he regains possessions, hit the ground, and still maintains possession of the ball. That's a touchdown in the NFL. That's a catch. Doesn't matter if he was bobbling it. Once he bobbles it, he regains possession. He falls, hits the ground, maintains possession through the catch. That's a touchdown. Why is this not a touchdown? Why is this a fumble? It makes no sense. He breaks the pylon. He regains possession before he hits the ground, and it's a fumble. They say he regained possession out of bounds. Doesn't make sense to me, especially when you consider a receiver, you know, in the back of the end zone, 2 feet in, the tiptoe catch like the Santonio Holmes catch against the Cardinals in the Super Bowl. Say he bobbles that, but he catches, he regains possession before he hits the ground and then maintains possession through the catch while hitting the ground. That's a touchdown. Why was that a fumble? Of course, every big play call review in the last 15 years for the Patriots always goes in their favor. Like, as soon as I saw it was the Patriots, I'm like, oh, go figure. I was watching the game. That was the game before the Steelers game I was watching on CBS, I believe. I was mind blown. My friends were blowing up my phone. We're talking about texting, and we're like, what the fuck? Of course the Patriots get this fucking, you know, call. That's bullshit. How is that a fumble? It's one of the worst calls I've ever seen in the NFL. Like I said, other than the replacement debacle, off the top of my head, I don't see the replay. Now I can't remember if that's a catch, interception. No idea. Horrible play call. This was just as bad. These are the real refs. These are the real NFL refs. How do you not get that right? Come on now. You're better than that. Be a professional. Make the call. The funny part was they called a touchdown on the field. New York's the one that overturned it. So I don't know what the guys are smoking in New York. They're passing around some kind of Piper shit, like, during watching the game. And like, oh, fuck, I got to do my job now. And they're like, it was a fumble. What the hell? I don't know what you're doing. Come on, be a professional. But sorry, I got on a little rant there. I wanted to go quick through the NFL football. But so I'll take the Dolphins -3 at home. Then you got the Vikings Ravens. Vikings -5.5 at home. I'm taking the Ravens. They're getting back on track. Joe Flacco is supposed to be elite. I don't think he is. The Ravens got a pretty good team. I like the Ravens' chances at Vikings +5.5. I'll take that. Then 49ers are +6 at home against Cowboys. I do like my home dogs, but guess what? Cowboys, Zeke Elliott might not be playing this week. I don't know. They change it every freaking week. I guess I'll just tune in and figure out before the game. Like, if you're betting on this game, that's a pretty important information to know. But with that being said, fuck it. I'll take the Cowboys. I'll take Dak Prescott. I'll take Dez Bryant against the 49ers. I still don't even know who's on the 49ers team. Trying to figure it out. Bowman's gone. I wanted the Steelers to pick him up because Vince Williams went down last week. But I don't think the Vince Williams injury for the Steelers is that significant. So that's a good thing. But Bowman's gone. Navarro Bowman, 49er. I'm very curious. I think he just... I can't say off the top of my head. But I think he just went somewhere. He was visiting with some teams. But I'll take the Cowboys. I need to look into the Zeke Elliott thing. I just realized off my head. I don't know what the hell's going on. 1 week he's playing. 1 week he's suspended. He hasn't sat on any games yet magically. Come on. This is football. This is entertainment. This is, let the dude play and let the court system do its job. I'm so confused. Roger Goodell. Man, he's just overstepping his boundaries and everything. I don't know what's going on. I'm a pretty big football fan. And I don't know what the hell's going on with Zeke Elliott. I mean, it's a fucking crapshoot, man. Cowboys, I don't know what's going on, but they're going to beat the 49ers. I'll take them -6 against them. Then Chargers Broncos, taking the Broncos plus one at Chargers. The Giants Seahawks, like I said, Giants earlier. Giants don't have any, you know, receivers. I mean, they got Eli Manning, but I haven't seen the real Eli Manning in a couple years since they won the Super Bowl. So I'll take the Seahawks minus 5.5 at Giants. And then the game of the week, we'll go Eagles at home, minus 5 against the Redskins. I like the Eagles. I'll take them minus 5 at home. I know that's like, you know, a lot of points for a divisional game right there, or NFC East rivalry. But I don't know. I'm not sold on the Seahawks. Kirk Cousins plays good every other game. Maybe this is the game he plays well. I don't know. But I'm pretty big on Carson Wentz. I'll take the Eagles. And then the game of the week, Super Bowl rematch. Your New England Patriots and my New England Patriots versus the Atlanta Falcons. Patriots are minus 3 at home at Foxborough. Patriots win a lot of games at Foxborough, but Falcons haven't been that good this year, but I think they get back on track right now. So they lost to the Bills. Don't know how they did that. Lost to the Dolphins. Guess what? The AFC is a little better this year than it has been, you know, last couple years. But I like the Falcons beating the Patriots at Foxborough. The Falcons are plus 3. Matt Ryan's going to beat Tom Brady this time. New England's the defense isn't what it was last year. They're getting carved up. Was it Josh McCown last week for the Jets? He was slinging the rock over the field, running, making plays, arms and legs. New England's defense got exposed against a 37-year-old quarterback who's never been really good. I like Matt Ryan's chances. I love it. Take the Falcons. That's my other lock of the week. Taking the locks of the week, Bills and Falcons, lock it up. Now, flipping to college, there's only really one thing to talk about. But before I get to that, I'm going to mention the other game that popped off the page to me is USC versus Notre Dame. This is a historic game. You got to love this game. If you're a college football fan, you like this game. All those years, you got the Fighting Irish against the Trojans and some epic battles. This year, it's number 11 USC versus number 13 Notre Dame at South Bend. The Fighting Irish are minus 3.5 against USC. Got like home teams, but I think this is a trap game for both teams. I don't know how you can have a trap game for both teams, but I'm gonna say it is because this is a very, very significant game for both teams. USC and Notre Dame need to win this game. If USC loses, I'm writing them off out of the Final Four. I think they're done. You lose to Washington State, you lose to Notre Dame. Probably going to lose one more game. I don't think they have Washington on their schedule. Now that I think about it, because I was thinking that was the other game they'd lose. But I don't think they're on the schedule. But anyway, a two-loss USC team. Sam Darnold has been up and down. I don't know. I think he's a pretty good prospect. He makes some throws some other guys can't, but I just don't think the USC team's that good. I think the offensive line's bad. I think they got overhyped before the season, which I was on the bandwagon. I'm like, all right, USC's pretty good. They got a good quarterback. I think they're a little overhyped now. Offensive line wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. But I don't know about Notre Dame. Notre Dame only has one loss this year. They have one loss. It was against Georgia Bulldogs, who are undefeated. Go Dogs. They've been playing really well. But I'm going to make a decision now. I'm going to take Notre Dame at home minus 3.5 against USC. I just did it. This is a huge game for Notre Dame. If Notre Dame can run the table, have one loss, you know what's going to happen at the end of the year? Notre Dame, this is a nightmare scenario. This is the nightmare scenario for the NCAA college football playoffs. Because if Notre Dame runs the table, they have one loss on the year to an undefeated Georgia. I mean, because at this point, it's going to be Georgia versus Alabama in the SEC championship, which I think Alabama would win that game. So their only loss going into, you know, the postseason would be a, you know, one loss to a Georgia team whose only loss is to Alabama. Things are getting dicey, man. Because Alabama goes undefeated. They have one loss. They're going to be put in, no doubt. The Big Ten champion, most likely going to get put in. Not sure exactly who that's going to be yet. Because there are some interesting games here in the upcoming weeks. But Notre Dame's going to throw a wrench in this whole situation. Like, they might bump out an ACC, a Pac-12, a Big 12 school. Because, of course, they're not in a conference. They don't have a conference championship. Notre Dame's always going to fuck things up with this. They play an ACC schedule in basketball and every other sport. Why don't you just join the ACC, man up, join the Big Ten? Because I know they want to play football in the Big Ten. I think, like, for historic reasons, rivalries, like, if Notre Dame's in the Big Ten, they play Penn State, they play Ohio State, they play Michigan, Michigan State, Iowa, Wisconsin. That's who they're playing. Man, that's a lot of fun if you're a Notre Dame guy. But Notre Dame, of course, wants to do all this crazy shit so they can play USC, they can play, they can align, they can play NC State, they can play Georgia, they can play whoever. I get it. It's good for you guys, but it's also bad for college football. Because this year, you're going to throw a wrench in the whole damn things. You're probably only going to have one loss because now I'm taking you over USC. You're going to throw a wrench in the system. So I'm going to have to look, you know, next couple weeks, start putting together what my playoff predictions are. But they're all jumbled right now because of everything. Because I think Notre Dame's going to screw everything up. But talking about screwing everything up, Michigan is going to screw up Penn State's season this weekend, baby. Woo! Go Blue. Hey, I'll tell you this much. I had Penn State hate week when Pitt played them. Pitt got ran out of the fucking building at Beaver Stadium. I was there. But the same token, they didn't get beat as bad as I thought they were going to be. They held their own. I'll tell you this much. Number 19 Michigan, I think, this week is going to turn some people's heads. They had a bad loss against Michigan State, in-state rivalry. And I know I've been talking shit. I know Rick and all them have been talking shit like all these rivalry games. Michigan, every week's a rivalry game. Guess what? When you're the best team, one of the best programs in the country, you're going to have haters. You're going to have people saying it's a rivalry game. Guess what? When Michigan steps on the field, it is a rivalry game. And this weekend at Beaver Stadium, Creepy Valley, Michigan's going to go in there and handle business. I am a little skeptical, and I'm talking a lot of shit here. I'm a little skeptical because they don't have a fucking quarterback. John O'Korn's not the answer. When he throws 2 to 3 picks in a high school football game in Pennsylvania because a small double-A school, my friend picked him off twice. You're supposed to handle it in the Big Ten? I don't know. What. I'm shaking my head here. I don't know. John O'Korn is not the answer. And I know that Jim Harbaugh is going to go out there and get on the recruiting train next year and bring in a quarterback. Because this team is solid. This defense can play. You have some athletes on Michigan. The run game is pretty damn good. Like, when you can stop the run, run the ball, you're going to win a lot of games. I think Michigan's going to win a lot of games. I think they're going to go into Happy Valley, surprising people. I think they're going to shut down Saquon Barkley a little bit. Mr. Heisman hopeful. He's my Heisman so far, and I hate to say it being a Michigan guy. But Barkley is my Heisman, you know, favorite so far. I think Michigan's going to shut him down. Trace McSorley, he's not a good quarterback. He's like your prototypical college quarterback. You can make the plays. Good game manager, can make some throws when need to be, but he can hand it off really well to a really, really good running back. I don't think that Penn State D is as good as everyone thinks. Pitt was carving him up with those shuffle passes inside and jet sweeps and stuff at Happy Valley a couple months ago. I don't know. It's really interesting. I just don't know if Michigan team's going to show up because they don't have a good quarterback. So if they can get the run game started early, can run the ball, and John O'Korn can make some third down conversions, I like Michigan's chance. This is a toss-up game. This is going to be a really good game this weekend. I'm excited. I'm getting pumped up just thinking about it. It's 2 days away, and I'm excited. It is, like Jim Harbaugh said, whiteout game at Happy Valley. Honestly, if I didn't have to work this weekend, I got some OT, you know, got to, you know, be an adult a little bit, which sucks, I'd be there. I'd go up to the game. I thought about buying tickets this week and calling off. Thought about it. But I got to, you know, got to do that kind of stuff. But I'm just getting pumped up thinking about it. Like, as much as I hate Penn State, that atmosphere is crazy. Beaver Stadium is a lot of fun. If you're a college guy, as much as I hate them, I hate Creepy Valley, I hate the Penn State cult, I hate all that bullshit. It is a fun place to watch games. I think it's the second best place in the country to watch games. Number one, the Big House. I think that's the best. But number two, Penn State, that they got a hell of an atmosphere. And guess what? Those guys know how to tailgate up there. I'll give them that. Talk a lot of shit on Penn State, but those guys know how to tailgate. They know how to have fun. And they know football. And they can play some pretty good football up there too. But Penn State is going to lose at home against Michigan. I'll tell you this much. There's one thing I've learned in life about betting. You got to watch the lines. Watch where the public money is going. So when this line opened up, it was 11.5 point line for Penn State. That's a huge, huge line. Especially because Jim Harbaugh, since he got to Michigan, hasn't lost to Penn State yet. He's 1-4. Against his rivalry games against Michigan State and Ohio State. Not good. But guess what? He's undefeated so far against Penn State. 2015, beat Penn State 28-16. 2016, last year, Penn State went to the Big House and got ran out of the fucking stadium. 49-10. 49-10. Everyone forgets that. Everyone talks about how good Penn State was, how they should have won the Rose Bowl, how it was a good game, Saquon Barkley. Michigan put it to Penn State last year. Put it to them. So Jim Harbaugh knows how to go coach against Penn State. I don't think James Franklin is a good coach. I've been really thinking about this. We've been talking about it here at Southbound Sports. I don't think James Franklin is a good coach. He's a hell of a recruiter, though. And that's what's interesting. It makes me so mad about Pat Narduzzi at Pitt because he's such a great in-game coach. He knows how to coach. But I don't think he's a recruiter. I don't think he's a good enough recruiter to bring people in the Pitt when you got Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan. You have all these WVU. You have all these great universities around you. Notre Dame's out South Bend, not too far away. You have some great, great, great programs in that area. Great programs. Pat Narduzzi can't recruit well. But guess what? James Franklin can recruit. But I think Jim Harbaugh this week, everyone knows Michigan. You watch Michigan football, they always start out slow. And that's what killed them in the Michigan State game. They started out slow. Freaking, you know, Jim Harbaugh always makes adjustments at halftime to come out second half, make the adjustments, play really well, usually win a lot of football games. Michigan State game, a freaking, the rainstorm, crazy, you know, it was crazy. Like, you can't throw the ball in that conditions, especially when John O'Korn's not that good of a quarterback. You're down. It's hard to come back when you're down. I know it's crazy. Richie, you know, was texting us during that game. He's like, at halftime, like, or whenever it started raining, he's like, game over. He's like, neither team's gonna score the rest of the game. I'm like, holy crap, dude! I got a little nervous. I didn't think he was right, but he ended up being right. Michigan ended up losing, couldn't come back in that rainstorm. But I don't know. I like Michigan's chance against Penn State because they got a good run game, solid run defense, and Jim Harbaugh is a better in-game coach than Franklin. That's a good winning combo. But James Franklin can recruit. There's no doubt about it. In the last couple years, you know, we've been talking a lot on the Spaces or Laces or the Southbound Sports Show, the big show, about the blue chip ratio. He's really increased the blue chip ratios, made Penn State a premier program again. He's brought the recruits in. When you have talent, when you have players, you can win a lot of games. But I just don't think they're going to win this weekend. And this is going to make the Big Ten really interesting because if Michigan beats Penn State, you have Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State all one loss. Ohio State, though, has the non-conference loss to Oklahoma. So I'm pretty sure the way that works is Ohio State's undefeated in the Big Ten and they're winning the conference. So this really is going to shake things up, I think, this weekend, a Michigan win. But if Penn State wins, it's going to be interesting. Because then they have to go at Ohio State. I think they play Wisconsin still. You almost lose to Iowa. They should have lost to Iowa. McSorley talking shit on him. He made a hell of a play. He came out, balled out against Iowa at the end of that game. Barkley obviously balled out. They won a tough game on the road, but you're going to have a tough game at home against Michigan, then you got to go at Ohio State. That's not a friendly environment either. You're on the ropes against Iowa. How's it going to feel when you have Michigan coming in who are hungry, lost to Michigan State? Jim Harbaugh's going to have these guys ready for this game. Michigan plays well against Penn State, always have, always will. I don't know what it is. Then you got to go at Ohio State. Woo! It's going to be interesting. College football is really ramping up. This is the time of the year. It gets really exciting. But a lot of football left to be played, though. A lot of things can change. Last weekend, a lot of upsets. I want to say a few more things about college here before we call it quits on the show. But I watched the entire Washington State-Arizona State game last Friday night? I think it was Friday night. Anyway, it was the Pac-12 late night, whatever they do, the hashtag thing and stuff like that. I watched that entire game. Arizona State looked fast. And I hate it because I hate Todd Graham. Played for him at Pitt. Don't like Todd Graham. But he had those guys out there playing fast, smart, intelligent football. And they made some plays. They made enough plays to knock out number 5, Washington State. Oh, excuse me. I keep saying Washington State. Washington, sorry. So Washington State played someone else. I think they lost too. But anyway, number 5, Washington, sorry. Number 5, Washington, played Arizona State last week. I watched the game. Wow, I sound like a dumbass keep saying Washington State, but Washington, and they didn't play good. The quarterback, you know, I thought he was a legit quarterback going into that game. Browning, something like that. can't remember off the top of my head, but he's played well last year, played well this year so far, but he looked bad. Arizona State was only rushing a couple guys, dropping a lot back. And times they did rush, they got pressure on the quarterback. He looked off the entire night. That quarterback from Arizona State made some throws. I was impressed. He was very mobile, made some athletic plays. Number five went down. Last weekend was a crazy weekend in college football. I think, oh yes, Syracuse knocked off Clemson. Yeah, there was a lot of upsets last weekend, a lot of fun. But we're running a little late here, so I think I'm going to start wrapping it up. But just want to, you know, recap a little bit. I was talking about Aaron Rodgers and, you know, breaking his collarbone and the Packers. I think the Packers season's down the drain. They're my Super Bowl favorite. I had them winning it all, but thought this year, 2017 football season, be Aaron Rodgers' revenge year. Turns out it's Aaron Rodgers' regret year. Him and Olivia Munn break up, broken collarbone. The Packers aren't going to win the Super Bowl this year. Man, I thought it was Aaron Rodgers' revenge year, but it just turned out it's Aaron Rodgers' regret year. No girlfriend, no football. It's going to be a rough couple next months for Aaron Rodgers. It really sucks, but we'll see if Brent Hundley is a real deal or not out of UCLA. Packers insider says he is. We'll see. Let's see what I love about football. There's a lot of, you know, analyzing and talking, you know, that goes on before games, stuff like that. But until you step on that field, you put the cleats on, throw the pads on, that's where you do your real talking. When people find out what kind of player you are, what kind of program you have, whether it's in, you know, NFL, college, it's a lot of fun. And Martavis Bryant, light him up today. I had him on, light him up today. Do your job. Be a professional. Go out, make some plays. You want to get traded? Guess what? The Steelers are going to trade you right now. You don't have any draft stock. Who wants you? You sat out all last year. You played rusty this year. You've been playing like shit. No one wants you. Go out. If you really don't want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler anymore, go out, make plays, get paid. That's how it works. You make plays, you will get paid. Simple. Very easy. Go out, make some plays. But the Pittsburgh Steelers, winning the NFC North right now, AFC North, 4-2, got like their chances of winning that division. That's what's crazy. They have two horrible losses. One's against the Jaguars and the Bears. You'd think the sky was falling in Pittsburgh the way people were acting. Guess what? You're winning the division. Calm down. It'll be okay. That's the only thing though, is I'm a big advocate of winning the games you're supposed to, and the big games will take care of themselves. Somehow they keep losing the games they're, you know, supposed to, and the big games just happen to be all right. They beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs were the best team in football going in last weekend, and the Steelers, you know, put it on them. So, I don't know. I will be attending the Steelers game this weekend. Steelers are playing the Bengals at home. Like I said, I think the Steelers are going to win. I think they're going to cover the spread 5.5. I'll be at the game tailgating. I'm sure you guys saw on Instagram, on Twitter, Southbound Sports. We had a member of the Southbound Sports family at the game. We had some videos, some pictures, some tailgating pictures outside the stadium, inside the stadium. Thought it was really cool. We put it up on social media. We're going to continue to do that. I know Richie on the Big Show said it last week or 2 days ago. We're going to continue doing these kind of things, do some cooking recipes, some tailgating food, beverages, adult beverages. Just trying to, you know, get some ideas, some content out there. I'm sure you guys love it. Keep, you know, tuning into the Southbound Sports Show on Tuesday nights on Periscope. I think they're going to try a new platform. They've been having some trouble at the new location that Richie has set up. I don't know if it's the internet or what, but they've been having some trouble with Skype, Periscope. So they're going to try maybe some different platforms. We'll see. But as of now, still Periscope. Check us out on YouTube, Southbound Sports Show, Spacer Laces, both on YouTube. And finally have Spacer Laces on Apple Music. Check us out on Stitcher, I believe it's called. Just putting everything, you know, on different platforms just so you guys can check it out. But I know it's been fun today. Talked a lot of shit. Just hoping go blue this week. I hope they bring it home. But this is Jeff here on Spacer's Laces. Hit us up. Looking for content. Hey, I'm a Michigan guy. I think they're going to beat Penn State. If you want to talk some shit next week, you want, you know, some friendly banter. If Michigan loses, talk shit. Call in the voicemail. Our number is 1-412-330-1512. Call in, talk shit. I deserve it. If Michigan loses, talk shit. Go ahead, hit us up on Southbound Sport. Hit me up. I love to talk. You know, love some friendly banter. This is what sports are all about. They're entertainment. So check us out. Hit us up. This is Jeff here on Spaces or Laces, over and out.